Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This time on Homicide.
They were living the Australian dream.
Where is she? The fabric which holds this family together is missing.
There had been an alarming development.
This person is covering up for something they've done.
I'm not believe it. What's happened to Mandy? I'm not believe it.
It rings an alarm bell.
That's an incredible day's events.
Maybe we're now looking at a homicide.
I'm Ron Eddles. As a kid, all I ever wanted to be was a detective. I ended up spending 42 years in Victoria Police, 25 years in the Homicide Squad. I investigated more than 320 murders and solved most of them. Every murder victim deserves a voice. And it was my job to be that voice. Now, I'm taking you step by step through my most challenging cases to show you how we track down the killers. This is Homicide.
Mandy Amadi, Part 1.
I've got a saying, failure to search is failure to find. If you haven't searched everywhere, you haven't searched at all. Mandy Amadi, a mother of two, went missing on the 16th of December, 2011. Mandy and her husband Nassar were involved in community work. They were working at the Cornerstone Soup Kitchen and provided food for the underprivileged. They were involved with refugees that had come across from different parts of the world. And I think that came from the fact that in 1999 they escaped from Iran and ultimately arrived in Australia as refugees. Nassar and Mandy were living in a unit in High Street, Ashwood, with their two sons, Cashie, aged 15, and Sherry, aged 11. The 16th of December, from the outset, just looked like an ordinary day. One of the things that both Mandy and Nassar did on the day was to go and have a look at a hall for a Christmas function for migrants and refugees that have come from overseas. Mandy was happy with the hall. From all accounts, it's a normal day involved in the community and their refugee work. They come home, and according to Nassar, his son Cashie is there with two of his girlfriends, and he says he then leaves and goes to Safeway, and when he gets back, Mandy's not there. She'd left her handbag behind, but taken her phone. Sherry, the 11-year-old, arrives home from school. Mandy's not home. Nassar thinks, I'll just give her a ring. He makes a couple of phone calls. No answer. So he says to Sherry, well, let's go shopping. I've got to buy some Christmas presents. He says that he gets back home with Sherry around 6 o'clock, but Mandy's still not there. He'd been to the Life Church in Wonturna South because they were both members of that church, and he spoke to the pastor saying, well, I'm concerned about my wife, I can't find her, and the two of them then go to the local police station and report her missing.
My name is Faide Jafaris. I was Mandy's friend. She's a beautiful lady. She's tall. She always nice dress, stylish dress. She had a very, very soft heart, very kind. She's hairdresser, doing their haircut, helping lots of refugee people. Before Christmas, she called me and she asked me, can I help homeless people for cut their hair? Lots of homeless people doesn't have enough money. People came, is new here, doesn't have nothing. I said, okay, Mandy, I'll help you because I study hairdresser as well. I've never seen a person like Mandy. That night, Nancy called me. You see Mandy? I said, no, I'm not seeing Mandy. Mandy's left the office and gone to the house. No, she's not in the house. And I said, I'll go and call to Mandy. I called 100 times. Phone is ringing, just no one answering. I send a message in the Facebook, everything. She no answer, nothing.
Mandy's been missing for just on a week. The initial investigation is conducted by local detectives. They go through the unit, both downstairs, upstairs, look in the rear yard, and there's nothing untoward. But Mandy hasn't returned home. No one knows where she is, and it's Christmas Day. Christmas Day should be a day of celebration with the family around. So NASA invites the relatives over. They have Christmas dinner on the deck outside with the two boys, Cashy and Sherry. It's a reasonably happy family day, but something's missing. Mandy's not there. The fabric which holds this family together is missing. Where is she? After 2.5 weeks of the local detectives investigating, we get a phone call at the homicide squad. They tell us that she's been missing since the 16th of December, hasn't accessed her bank accounts and has not used her mobile phone. They think something's gone wrong and it's handed over to us.
The homicide squad has taken over the investigation into the disappearance of an Ashwood woman. The mother of two has been missing since mid-December.
Police appealed for information to help find Mandy Ahmadi, who had not been seen since she left her Ashwood home on December 16, taking no personal belongings with her.
My name's Kate Jones. I was Channel 7 court reporter for 8 years and I covered the Ahmadi case. It was a big story at the time. There was a mystery about the disappearance of this woman. It must have been so difficult for the boys wondering where their mother was. Their father wasn't able to give them a definitive answer. He said he came home, she wasn't there. His mind was racing about what could have happened to her.
When you look at the background to NASA, he hadn't had an easy life. He was born in Afghanistan, moved to Tehran. Eventually, he was locked up on two different occasions, tortured in an Iraqi prison in his early 20s.
You can only imagine the appalling conditions that there would be in an Iranian prison. Not only kept there, but tortured. It took him 12 months to recover from his injuries once he left prison in Iran.
We established that in 1994 he met Mandy and eventually they arrived in Australia for a new life.
It sounds like they were living the Australian dream once they got here. They found that you could achieve your dreams through hard work by starting their own business, a bakery. They were setting up their home and repaying the community by doing charity work with other refugees. It was quite a migrant success story.
In early January 2012, NASA decides himself to conduct a media conference. This is not something organised by the police. This is NASA and his pastor from the church. and he puts up the proposition that he believes she's been kidnapped by extremist Muslims because she's converted to the Christianity faith.
Mandy was tell the story of Jesus, to this is Christianity is right and this is wrong.
And the Muslim people get upset?
This time I'm worried to maybe somebody kidnapped.
Then the local pastor comes on again, there's a plea, but he says,
there's every hallmark of an abduction here, and the likely possibilities are converts from Islam are highly likely to be abducted.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
And I love you, Mandy. Kate says love you, sweetheart.
When I saw that, I think to myself, it's highly unlikely that she's been abducted by Muslim extremists. My boss at the time, John Potter, was an inspector and he did a media conference the following day.
It was certainly looked at that particular allegation. There's no foundation to suggest that that's indeed what's happened.
So I thought it was fanciful. I didn't think that it was possible. And to my knowledge, nothing like that has ever happened in Australia. Mandy Amati is now missing for about 3 weeks. She's disappeared from her house. In early January 2012, I'd got to the point where I decided it was time to talk to NASA one-on-one. Yes, he's made a statement, but let's go over that statement and see if he can actually expand on anything. So during the course of that interview, he puts up a second proposition. The first one was he'd been taken by extremists, which we discounted. And then he says to me, Ron, I'm worried Mandy might have been having an affair. Maybe she's gone away with that man.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He told me that this was a man who worked at Cornerstone, assisted the refugees, and eventually Mandy and this man set up a soccer group for refugees, particularly those from Iran, to play soccer. This is also the man that she went to a local gym with. Nassar believed that they were lovers. So the question is, has she left Nassar for this unknown man that she's befriended from Cornerstone? We eventually located the man. He admitted that he'd been intimate with Mandy. There was one night where there was a sexual relationship. Mandy felt bad about it, and from that point on, they seemed to have drifted apart. When you do any of these investigations, it's about looking into each person's background. Sometimes it's about financial matters. Sadly, as a result of a downturn, Mandy and Nassar lost the business. Nassar then started work as a decorator and painter. And one day he fell off the ladder, injuring his back. From that point on, he was placed on a disability pension and they moved to the unit in Ashwood, which was a Ministry of Housing unit. Mandy often complained that she wanted the house back. She wanted maybe a better life than what Nassar could give her. She didn't like living in a small unit, but the reality was Nassar couldn't work again and was on a disability pension.
My name's Ian Gray. I was the state coroner in Victoria between 2012 and 2015. Mandy did appear to be a woman who grew in confidence after she came to Australia. She had a real outgoing strength and warmth about her. She's a woman who is young, vibrant, and attractive. Nasir appears to have found living in Australia far more difficult. She was making real gains and developing real confidence, and he was not able to do the same. He was not able to keep pace with her in that regard.
It must have been very difficult for him, feeling that he couldn't provide any more for his family, and that his family had gone from having this comfortable suburban life in Roeville to having to move into a housing commission house and not being able to work.
The initial statement from Nasir was, "I left to go shopping and I don't know where she is." Then when I formally interview him, he puts up a proposition, "Well, maybe she's left with a new man." 2 days before that, he's saying maybe she's abducted by Muslims. I think history would show that those who come up with multiple theories are often involved. Quite clearly, it rings an alarm bell and you think, this person is covering up for something they've done. I decided then that what I would do was go back over the statements of both the boys and Nasir. When you analyse the statements, there's an issue with the time. Nasir says he and Mandy got home at 2:40. When they got home, Cassie was there with his two friends. He says, "I then left, went to Safeway, and Cassie, the two friends and Mandy was there." His son and friends say, "No, Nasir and Mandy got home at 1:50. Cassie was saying, "I left with my two friends and we went to McDonald's in Glen Waverley. We looked at the CCTV footage at McDonald's, which showed Cassie going in there with his two friends, and it was 2:09. So then I start thinking, hang on a minute. Nassar's telling me that he gets home at 2:40 and he's with Mandy. The boys are home when he's there. This can't work out right, because if the boys are at McDonald's at 2:09, there's no way that Nasir could have seen them. And Nasir's basically saying, at no stage are Mandy and I alone in the house. And I say to him, that can't be right, because your son and the two friends are at McDonald's at 2:09. It was clear that Nasir and Mandy were home alone together for an hour and a half. The question is, why is he lying? An avenue of inquiry is to go and talk to the neighbours. There are two or three neighbours that talk about, from time to time, there's been arguments between Nasir and Mandy. One neighbour says, "On several occasions, I have seen Nasir sleeping in the car outside." What does that indicate? Maybe there's an issue within the marriage. Then we spoke to some of their friends and relatives, and they said from time to time there'd been domestic disputes, domestic arguments. When you actually look at Mandy Amati, she's someone who is self-confident, outgoing. You wouldn't suspect domestic violence. But having said that, there's really no stereotype for domestic violence. We never know what goes on behind closed doors.
I've never seen a happy couple. Nasir always fighting with Mandy. I see the bruise one time in the hand, one time in the face as well. I said, what's happened to you? She's first time said to me, nothing, or fall or something like that. I said, no, Mandy, that's not falling. What's happened? She started crying. And she just said, I'm fighting with Nasir. She said to me, oh, Fida, I'm not happy in my life. I'm not happy I'm leaving Nasir. She said, Frida, he's a very dangerous man. He always fight with me. He always follow me where I'm going. Nasir doesn't like men is coming close to me and talk to me as well.
Former Victorian coroner Ian Gray was across this case.
Mandy did report to friends that there was violence in the marriage and that he was violent towards her and that had been going on for quite some years. Mandy alleged that he punched her in the face, tried to burn her with an iron, and alleged that he kicked her in the stomach. They were the three explicit allegations, and that he did one or more of these actions in the presence of their two sons.
I think people tend to think of the stereotype of a domestic violence victim as being depressed and downtrodden. While Mandy did seem bubbly and vivacious and confident in her dealings with other people, that didn't mean that that's how she was when she was at home alone with her husband.
When you look at all the background and you analyse the timeline, you get to the point of saying, well, to progress this, let's do a forensic examination on the unit. It's been years since I've been here in High Street Road, Ashwood. I came here on the 13th of January, 2012. I was with a team of detectives, and I also had some forensic police with me. As I walk down the drive, my sole purpose is about preparing myself, trying to create an environment whereby if he so wants to tell you the truth, he will. So your whole mind, you're setting up for the day. The purpose of taking out the warrant was to go and do a search of Nasir and Mandy's unit to see if we could find anything forensically which might indicate that a crime had been committed there. So we arrived there and Nasir opened the door and he invited us in. And he said, well, you can do what you like because I don't know where Mandy is. There are times when people clean up after killing someone and you might have blood spatter that's washed away, but unless you use a chemical, you won't get a reaction. So forensic team keep looking around. I walked out of the kitchen onto the deck. The deck is about 4 metres by 3 metres. It's been hastily built, not with any building skills. It's something that's probably not all that stable. It just doesn't look right. I said to NASA, how long has the deck been here? He said, I built it just before Christmas, just after Mandy went missing. I needed it for Christmas Day. We had all our friends and relatives here, and it's a day on the deck with the family and the two boys, Cashie and Sherry. I think to myself, And I said to him, NASA, would there be any reason I would find your wife under this deck? He looks at me, shrugs his shoulder. I don't know. I then said to the crime scene examiner, tear the deck up.
Next time on Homicide.
A day of surprise developments in this case.
Failure to search is failure to find.
Why should I believe you? I don't know.
It's a poignant, dreadful footnote.
That day, I'm so angry.
Ron, take me away.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.